and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Ferrata, and joining me today, James, turn your camera off.
Thank you. Come on.
Come on, dude. ruining the intro. But that is James with the best bet record of 8-1-1. Give James his credit. He's been kicking our ass, Austin. Austin Tark is also in on this call right now. Austin, you actually just brought up an interesting conversational point. The Patriots off a absurdly dominant win. And I guess we're kind of getting right on into it right now. Of my best bet, the Browns, where I right hand up.
Close.
It was close, but ultimately we just didn't pull it out at the end. We ran out of time. Austin, what do you think the state of the Patriots is right now?
You know, it's still the same old Patriots team where they're very well coached. They rely on a very good defense. And I was really impressed with Mac Jones. Last week, he looked phenomenal. If you looked at like his advanced stats, they were outstanding. But granted, I look back at their schedule and they compete in every single game, but their wins are really not that impressive. The best team they've beaten is the Browns, and that was a injured Baker team. So it's a wait and see for me. I said it a couple weeks ago, they're definitely gonna make the playoffs, and it looks like they're definitely headed that way. But hey, when you look at the Bills, who also haven't really beaten anyone, and they're now only a half game lead over the Patriots with two still matchups to play, it's interesting. The Patriots seem to be live to win the AFC East now.
Yeah, that's true. Only a half game back, right?
Yeah.
James, any thoughts here?
Are you just saying on the Patriots or on the Patriots-Falcons game?
Just Patriots. Thursday night doesn't really compete with the schedule.
No, I kind of like this. I kind of like the Patriots in a tease. I just don't think the Falcons have enough. They have some bad injuries. So I think you said before the show jokingly that the Falcons were live. I just don't see the Falcons winning. Thursday night rookie head coach.
Yeah, that's reasonable. After last week's performance, do we think the Bills are what everyone kind of assumes that they are, or just a beaten up on a bad team?
They're getting closer to where they were. I think they had a little bump in the road there, but they're definitely playing better football now. I think they could definitely return to the team we saw last year. I mean, we saw them going to Kansas City already this year and just blew the Chiefs out of the water. So it's certainly in them.
They got to prove it against a good team for me. I mean, they've played the Chiefs and Titans, and that's it. They got some big games headed coming their way with Saints, Patriots, and Bucks, and even Colts coming up this week. I'm going to wait and see on this team.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I don't know what to think. I feel like they just are the best team in the AFC. Although I do think the Titans should have something to say about that, but it just feels like they have the lowest floor and the highest ceiling week to week. And I it's just really hard for me to kind of gauge that. And then finally, this is just kind of like the last somewhat shocking result, I guess. The Bucks lost. That definitely did not see that coming, especially off a bye. But any cause for worry just with injuries mounting up? I saw today that Antonio Brown's personal chef is just outing him now, or former personal chef, I guess. Yep. But James, I'm curious about your thoughts of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what like you kind of see for them as the playoff pictures starts to take shape.
I think they're fine. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams now come in, especially the good teams, off buys and lay eggs. I just think they built themselves too big of a hole in that first half and couldn't come back. Their defense has been concerning as of late, but I think as guys start to come back, they'll be fine. I mean, we saw them play much worse football at this time of the year last year, and then ultimately they got caught. They got hot at the right time, and obviously they won it all.
I think that's well said. Yeah, I'm concerned about this defense though, because that's the reason why they won the Super Bowl last year. So it's really going to have to come together.
The offense is pretty great.
Yeah, I would agree, but they destroyed the Chiefs in that Super Bowl, and that defense was spectacular, and they're nowhere near to that level. Granted, Bunting should be back in a couple weeks, I believe, But to get outgained on possession 40 minutes to 20 minutes is certainly not a good look for that defense. Washington just stayed on the field all game, including an incredible, it was like a 10-minute drive to end that game.
Yeah, to end the game.
Well done.
All righty. Really quick before we – a little bit of – would it be house cleaning, I guess, before we get into best bets. Follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. There, download the BetSports app if you haven't already. I've been not super consistently, but I have been putting some extra college basketball plays in there. But mainly, James and I are off to a fiery start in college hoops where
mostly you. I've only contributed like two picks.
That's true.
Don't sell yourself short there.
I appreciate it. But the Bonnies today, laying four. A little late game free throw magic, I would say, but the cash is green all the same, so I'll take it. Follow us on Twitter, though. And, of course, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We always greatly appreciate it. James, my friend. Actually, I forget what your best bet is.
Saints.
Saints plus 1.5. I can get behind that. James. The New Orleans Saints are traveling to Philadelphia, where the Eagles are laying 1.5 at home, and the total is 43. Saints plus 110 on the money line. Why do we like the Saints in this game?
We like the Saints because we liked them last week, and we thought they should have won. They outgained the Titans by 109, lost the turnover battle, and still had a chance to win that game. They were plus 3 last week at Tennessee, and now they're going to Philadelphia, and in the plus 1.5, plus 2 range. It just doesn't make sense to me. All season long, this Philly team has gotten a lot of love in the market. And, like, at points I've gotten it. Like, last week I liked Philly. Certainly not to the point where it became a pick on Sunday. But it's just kind of baffling to me how much money they're getting. They played really well last week. I actually liked what I saw from Philly. But I think the 30-13 final is a little deceiving. It's 20-13, and the Broncos were in the red zone. And I think everyone saw the replay of that fumble for a touchdown. Really good return there.
Great tackling by Teddy.
I mean, oh my goodness, just gave up on the fly. But I just think the Saints are better than the Eagles on a neutral. I would be laying points with the Saints. If it was minus 1.5 on a neutral, I'd take that. To begin 1.5 here, I just think it's too many. Kamara practiced yesterday, so I'm not sure if he will be playing, today. But he didn't today.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Regardless, I still like the Saints here. I think they should be favored in this one. I just don't see how the Eagles are laying 1.5 here.
Austin, what do you think?
I hear all James' sentiments. I'm just going to lean to the under. My pick actually is the under. I like that. Mainly just because both styles here, both teams are running the ball. Eagles are rushing the ball much higher the last 3 weeks, and that's all against weaker rush defenses. Saints are going to be able to stifle that ground game. So if they continue with that strategy, I don't see the Eagles succeeding too much. And this Saints team is still a team that likes to run the ball. Simeon hasn't been that bad, but they're definitely still taking clock and using Taysom Hill. Eagles aren't exactly great against the run, so I see the Saints being able to move the ball in this fashion. But either way, I think this plays to and under with the clock running and melting this game.
So I also like the Saints. And, I mean, really it just stems to Nick Sirianni devoting his offense to the run. And the Saints are the best. I mean, I think they're allowed the lowest running back yards per carry in the NFL right now. And it's, I think I checked yesterday and I think that I saw 2.6 yards per carry, which is ridiculous. So the Eagles just simply won't be able to run the ball very well. I do like that look on the under. I think that just because the Saints are so injury riddled on offense right now, I just think they'll have a really tough time against what has been a pretty solid Eagles defense, just in terms of moving the ball. So I certainly share that kind of similar sentiment there. But ultimately, this is just a teaser leg for me. I think just getting 7.5 and what I'd assume we all expect not to be a very high scoring game is really valuable. So Saints in a teaser. I also think they are undervalued here. Any plus money line is going to get my attention. So
my rebuttal is for the Eagle side. This was the Jalen Hurts come out game last year. He had his first game against the Saints and he had a really good game where he had 18 carries for 106 yards. Granted, this was that's Hurts' first game with zero film on him. And I would expect the Saints to have a little bit, a lot better preparation for him, but you never know. Hurts has looked really good so far this season. maybe this could be another great game for him.
Yeah, that situation was different, though. I remember the Saints were laying a large number in that game, weren't they? They came off a huge win and were overvalued with Taysom Hill.
Yes.
It might have been after the Broncos game, and they won like 30-0 because the Broncos did have a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. I think Breeze might have been out, too.
Pretty sure he was.
And Taysom Hill was a starter. I mean, hey, I'm a Trevor Siemian truther now. He's actually been pretty solid the last couple
That ball games. He threw on fourth down or third down to tie the game was an absolute dart.
Yeah.
He looked really good.
He really had, or was it to get within two?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, to get within two. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting performance last week for sure. But we need to move on where the AFC leading Tennessee Titans are hosting the Houston Texans, laying 10 or the Titans are laying 10 at home. Total is 44.5. And Austin, are we taking a peek at Texans plus 350 on the money line?
Without a doubt, but that's not the best bet. That's not the best bet. Without a doubt. The best bet is plus 10, but I will be dabbling in the money line. I was hoping for a 10.5 that was available before, but we're looking at this game as just a really good sell high, buy low spot. We have a Titans team who's pretty much beat everyone, including five straight playoff teams, and a Texas team that just lost to Miami, even with Tyrod coming back. I'm not going to put too much emphasis into that Tyrod game. We've seen it a lot this year where QBs have come back from injury and really struggled. We saw it with Wilson last week, Rodgers last week. And there's another example I can't think of at the top of my head, but it's this extended rest has clearly made Dak. Yeah. It's made quarterback struggle. And I look at this Titans offense and the last 2 weeks, they have 340 yards of offense. And this is their first two games without Henry. So the alarm bell should really be sounding. My MVP tickets, I'm not loving for Tannehill, but I do like that they're still winning. And then for the spot here, this is a totally unfamiliar spot for the Titans. They're used to being an underdog or under a field goal favorite for the last five straight weeks. And now they're in an underdog role. And this is a role that they've greatly struggled in going to back the last two seasons. For the top of my head, I can think that they lost the Jets this year. I know they lost the Bengals last year as a big favorite. They've just over the years really struggled in this spot. And with this offense, how it is, I just don't know if they can put up 27 to 30 points to cover the spread. I mean, this offense is literally just Tannehill and AJ Brown, and they have a weak offensive line as well. And Tyrod got his rusty game out of his system. He has an extra week to prepare. I'm still a believer in Tyrod. I think he gives his team the best chance to compete. I will say I'm impressed with this Titans team. Their defense is impressing me. They keep getting wins, but with the spot, with just the way I think the Texans can compete in the division game here after a bye, I just think 10.5 is too many points. 10 is too many points. And I think they're live to pull off an upset too. That was the text I referred to earlier. I think they're going to make a shock in survivor pools this week.
There's a downpour during this game.
Woo! I think I like that.
I mean, there's no reason not to. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I've been just vehemently against the Titans, it seems like, for now 3 weeks, just waiting for the fade opportunity. I got what was mine last week, but then with 2 minutes left. So I backed off a little bit, but you hit the nail on the head here. I just, maybe earlier in the year, I'd be a little more hesitant if King Henry and Julio Jones were playing, but they're obviously both out and the Titans just lack weapons right now. And it's definitely a little bit of a letdown spot after that 5-game stretch. So certainly lean the Texans, but don't have the stones to pull the trigger here.
It's tough. So I do like Titans team total over. The Texans have allowed more than 30 points in six of their nine games so far. Nice. But I understand the worry about the Titans offense. I also think we could just be buying the Titans offense at a low point right now, because the D line has been dominating, and with how much Tyrod struggled to protect the ball against the Dolphins, who, mind you, do not have a good defensive line, I do think that the Titans defense could put similar stress on Tyrod here. And I think that the Titans could just kind of like get short fields. And I think the reason why I'm off the Texans in this game is because I think that there's too much opportunity for the Titans to just turn this into a blowout, enough to where I'm not sure that 10 is the correct number, I think that, like, with all the letdown stuff, like, I agree. At some point, it's just they're going to have a bit of a stinker. I don't know. I'm sure I wasn't very convincing with my.
No, you were. Because I hear you. And this Texas team is like, it's not exactly like they're fighting very much. I mean, they were getting blown out in these games. I guess they had some fight against the Rams when they were down 38-3, or whatever it was. It's almost like an alternate spread would be better.
If you like the Titans, yes.
If you like Titans, but also if you like the Texans, it's almost like if
it's either like a 3-point game or a 20-point game.
Yeah, exactly. Like a +3.5 for the Texans would be a really good play. Cause like, I think my bet here is like, I think the Texans are going to keep it a close game. But if the Titans start with a lead and their offense is clicking, they're probably going to blow the doors off and this game doesn't have a chance. Like, backdoor isn't really in the Texans' mind here. But my play is I think the Texans are going to be able to keep it close. I just think this is a good spot for them.
I see. I don't actually think that like 10 points is invaluable. I just think that because I actually kind of disagree. I think a backdoor is kind of open, where like we could see that the Texans are down, I don't know, 16, and then you can, you know, they're going for two at the end of the game or something like that. But I do worry about the Texans' offense true inability to like move the ball at all versus the Dolphins. And when they did, like against a pretty weak pressure front, it was just kind of disappointing to see Tyrod back. And I, you know what? That's probably on me for selling him short, because I actually don't think Tyrod's that bad. And that being said, I do think the Titans offense kind of gets right here. And I think this could be seen as a bit of a confidence builder in a way where, you know, you're worried about losing Derrick Henry and you're winning games, but the overwhelming signs haven't been super positive. So one thing I will say to support your side, Austin, is Titans with the Patriots on deck, mm-hmm. and then they'll have a bye. So I do think that, especially with Vrabel ties, that could be a little bit of a look ahead, but
yeah. And just the letdown of just the last month for them. I mean, they have just had game after game, max motivation spots, tough games. Just eventually. I mean, even last week was, could you call last week a letdown spot? I don't know.
I kind of think played. So.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm
very interested because this might sound weird. I think this could be a good litmus test to see how good the Titans actually are. Cause if they do blow the doors off the Texans, I think I might be ready to crown them. Not saying that they're just going to like win out the rest of the year or anything, but taking care of business here and winning in a convincing fashion would do a lot to kind of see how they adjust to life without Derrick Henry. So very interested. And I feel like I normally don't say that during a,
I actually, here's what I'll rebuttal with. I think their litmus test is next week against the Patriots.
Because
like looking at their schedule, they really don't play anyone. And like, we're not really going to know who the real Titans are until the playoffs. Like, it's kind of wild. They play Texans, Jags, Steelers, Niners, Dolphins, Texans. Like, they really don't play anyone because they've already played everyone.
Yeah.
I just want to see their offense explode against a good defense, or at least do well against a good defense, to prove that they can handle it in the playoffs. But I hear what your statements are on the Texans, because they should beat the hell out of the bad teams.
All right. My best bet. We're going to fly to Buffalo. And Buffalo is laying 7.5. I'm seeing like sevens plus 100, but the 7.5 is minus 115. So that's what I'm going with. Also, I'm the host of the show, so I can pretty much do what I want. But Colts getting 7.5 points on the road at Buffalo. Total's at 50. Austin, you want to play weatherman really quick?
Yeah. We have 13-mile-per-hour winds with possible drizzle, according to my weatherman.
Alrighty. And also, is James back yet?
No, but dude, you can take the handicap. You got it. We're good.
This isn't necessarily, first of all, here he is. Okay. Sorry about that, listeners. This dude sucks. The Colts. So I think for a team that I wouldn't call the Colts good, but I think they're very solid. And I think that with a team with, you know, a low floor, high ceiling kind of makeup like the Bills, who are prone to mistakes and are prone to kind of lose stinkers. I don't think this game qualifies as a stinker, but I think getting more than a touchdown here is very disrespectful to a very solid Colts team. I think because of the way the Bills defense is set up schematically, I think that the Colts are going to be able to run the ball. And if the, and obviously Sean McDermott isn't dumb. I would imagine that he does try and adjust in some way, but because they do run sort of like a, like they kind of sit back and like let teams run on them just because they are analytically inclined. So they'll just kind of take that. And on the Colts side, I think that where they're good is up front. So front seven, and obviously they've, and I feel like we've brought it up many times over the course of the season, the Colts, no, they're very injury riddled in the secondary. Now with the weather, I think that we might see Josh Allen struggle a little bit, especially in like the intermediate to deep passing game. And so I think that the Colts will have an advantage on the defensive side of the ball, both up front against the run and in short passing. And ultimately, I think that, you know, we get a couple Carson Wentz best play in the game, PI calls, Michael Pittman, a couple big games, and Jonathan Taylor doing his thing. I'm not calling for a Colts win. I'm calling for a Colts keep it close. I see way too many scenarios where the Colts are playing this game within a touchdown, at least late. So give me the Colts plus 7.5. James, you're back. We're talking Colts Bills. What do you think?
I lean that way. I really like the Colts when they're a dog. I kind of just stay away when they're a favorite. They're pretty similar to the Steelers in my mind. And this is certainly one of those cases where they're catching a lot of points. So I could see them being pretty competitive here, pretty feisty.
I'm with you, Chaz. This game reminds me a lot of Colts Bills last year, where it was a little bit of a weather game and it was close the whole way. And I'd say that Wentz is doing a pretty good Philip Rivers impression, if not better. If this is a windy game, if this is a weather game, it definitely favors the Colts. They're a dome team, but they're prepared. Their style is to be able to prepare in bad weather. And the Bills entice the run. They play right into the Colts game plan. I mean, the Bills have faced one good rush offense this season. It was Derrick Henry, and he put up 143 yards on 3 TDs. If they're going to let Jonathan Taylor run the ball and not get beat deep, I think they're going to be more than fine. Colts are going to be able to score the ball. And if there's wind, it certainly affects Josh Allen. We've seen him struggle in the wind so far in his career. I just think it's a lot of points for a Buffalo team who's played the easiest schedule of both offenses and defenses. And this is a step up in competition for him.
I really wish there was like a truly, truly elite team in the AFC where we could like get the, like a Colts plus 10 or something in the playoffs, because they are built like, I feel like almost exactly like the Titans from a couple years ago when they went into New England and won outright. Right.
Yeah.
Cause this pretty is like it's a just physical, like perfect outdoor playoff team where they can run the ball down your throat, and like the front seven is good enough. And you know what, if like the secondary is banged up, or it's honestly, I'm not sure the secondary is even bad, but I would just say it's not good. And it's just, they get just enough stops to keep it interesting and then can ultimately grab a win at the end of the game. I think this team is so intriguing. Honestly, this pick might have some like internal bias for me, but oh no, I think this is a very interesting team to watch throughout the rest of the season, especially with how Carson Wentz just kind of provides a high ceiling, low floor, sure, but I think the run game that they have raises the floor of that offense too. So very interesting. Before we get into the rest of the games for this Sunday, quick little word from our sponsor at Anchor. Sunday, the Detroit Lions.
Why don't we recap our best bets first too?
Oh, great call. All right. For people who skipped ahead, or maybe who was my guy who DM'd with the requesting with the recaps?
Eric J, the guy.
Yeah, there you go. Austin, your best bet?
Texans plus 10.
James.
Money line.
Saints plus 1.
Hell out of here. And mine was the Colts plus 7.5. All these dogs winning outright, parlay them all. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Screw it. Yeah.
All right. Sunday, Also, let me know when I should go Steelers, because I'm not seeing that game right now, and I forgot to put it down. The Lions getting 11.5 on the road at Cleveland. The total is 43.5. Earlier, I said the Lions were winning. I don't actually think that. I was just kind of being sarcastic. But do the Lions have any chance in this game? No. James, I will kick to you to start.
Not a chance in hell. They use every ounce of magic, voodoo-ry, and whatever you want to call it to tie that game last week. Jared Goff had like 40 yards passing. They had probably 170 yards rushing through three quarters. I'm not sure if they gained a yard of offense in the fourth quarter overtime. It was the worst game ever, but they covered and they tied. So they got basically their win for the year. I think it's Browns or nothing here. I think we've seen kind of the indie spots this year when the Browns have their backs against the wall and they're getting heat like 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati. And they've just blew them out of the water. I think we can see something pretty similar here. It's not like a lot of people are backing them right now. So I think this could be a little bit of a statement game or just a reminder. We're still the Browns. We still run the ball and do what we want.
Yep. Austin.
He hit it right on the head for me. I'm Browns are a like of mine. James didn't even mention that Tim Boyle might be playing this week for the Lions at QB. he has more INTs and touchdowns in college, and he was ranked as the fifth worst graded quarterback in preseason, according to PFF. Even if it is Goff, I still like the Browns because I think they have an advantage with their ability to rush the passer. I agree with what James said. It's a letdown spot for the Lions. I mean, they caught every break in the world last week. They even had Mason Rudolph playing quarterback, and they still only got a tie. And Baker's biggest weakness is against the pressure. And Mason Rudolph last week wasn't hit once, not a single pressure. So I think Browns are going to be absolutely rolling this game. Not to mention Nick Chubb should also be back to help out this offense. I almost considered making it my best bet.
I want zero part of this game that is side or total. I think I've just done a very poor job gauging when the Lions are going to play up and down. And the Browns are an enigma to me. Especially after last week, it's left a very bad taste in my mouth. So I figure I'm just going to stay away. That being said, if I had to lean any side here, 11.5 is just a lot of points in the NFL. So I guess I'll lean Lions, even if it is with Tim Boyle. Hey, how much NFL tape is there on Tim Boyle outside of preseason?
None.
Probably not much. We said that about Jalen Hurts earlier.
You look up his stats, he has like
ridiculous.
Zero passing yards, but like negative 20 rushing yards, just because I think he comes in just for kneels.
That's hilarious. That UConn stat line, like, because it was like 26 picks and 19 touchdowns, right?
Yeah, something like that.
How on earth is he an NFL backup? He must be the smartest person on earth. Something.
He's probably got a cannon.
No.
He just had no idea how to use it.
If he had a cannon, he'd have to have more more touchdowns, just thrown deep. I don't know. I'll ride with my guy, Tim Boyle or Tim Doyle?
Tim Boyle.
Boyle. All right. Niners.
Jake Luton.
Oh, you mean the next Peyton Manning? the San Francisco 49ers are traveling to Jacksonville to take on Urban Meyer's Jaguars. Jags getting 6. Total is at 45. Austin, I'll kick to you to start. Are the Niners primed for a playoff run?
Well, that's a different question. Honestly, that win against the Rams is very impressive. And with the way that 7 seed is definitely up for grabs, and I'm not exactly a Panthers believer, I do think the Niners are set up for a playoff run. As far as this game goes, I think it's just a really bad spot for them. It's cross-country travel for a West Coast team after a season-changing win, playing on a short week. Not to mention Eli Mitchell's most likely out and Debo's hurt. And this Jags team, they easily could have thrown in the towel on their season. I'm very impressed with the fight of this team. I mean, for someone who I asked for Urban's head multiple times, just goes to show you that I don't fire coaches. Only Chaz knows how to do that. But I'm impressed with the way he's motivating this team. In that Colts game last week, I think they had a punt blocked and they were down 14-0 within like 5 minutes. And then sure enough, they had a chance to win there at the end. They even outgained Indy on a per play last week. So if I had to go any side, it would definitely be the Jags, just because I think it's a bad spot for the Niners, and I like the fight in this Jags team.
James, what about you? I think you like the Niners, right?
Yeah, I don't think I included it in my five, but this is one of the few bets I've made this week. I bet the Niners -6 today. I really like what the Niners do on the road. And if you look at what they've done on the road this year, they've been really successful, especially against bad teams, which obviously the Jags for that category. I'm not putting too much stock in the Jags playing two good games in a row. Last week, they definitely played better than I thought. I was able to get Colt first half home thanks to that punt block. But I just, again, I think the Niners are too good. And I think, like, it's definitely could be a letdown spot, but I think the Niners use it as more of like a booster for the rest of the year. And then you take that game and they know they now have the confidence and play like a playoff team moving forward. And the first step to that would be beating the Jaguars by a touchdown or more.
It's crazy what one win does for on Sunday night does for like a coach's job security. Cause like,
yeah,
just what last week we were saying that Kyle Shanahan should be fired and stuff like that. Also, Austin, the key to calling for firings is it's just being a volume shooter. So you're just not calling for enough coaches' heads.
That's true.
I think 6 at home is too many. I'm not betting this. It's the Jaguars. That being said, their defense has been pretty good against the run. Obviously, their passing defense has been utterly horrendous. But also, like, I think at some point Trevor Lawrence is going to have a little bit of a pop-up game. And I think with kind of the injuries that the Niners have had, I think that possibly an unsuspecting Niners defense could be a little sleepy after hands down their biggest win and arguably their biggest game of the season. So I do think maybe the Jaguars jump up to a little bit of an early lead. I know that, I mean, a win against the Bills and then, you know, playing the Colts reasonably tough. Honestly, like, I mean, I know I'm talking up the Colts and stuff. The Jaguars outplayed the Colts for 3, possibly 2.5 quarters of that game.
Yep.
And so I do think that they're playing with a little bit of confidence right now. And I think that if I was to bet this, I think I'd go Jags probably like, what is that? What would that be? +3 first half. Just cause I think they're more like, you know, get a
3.5
sleepy start for the Niners too.
Yes. I hate that. I think that's what I'd look at. So moving on to the Miami Dolphins with Tua at the helm, right?
Yep.
All right. Taking traveling to New York to take on the Jets. Jets getting 3.5 points at home. Total is at 44.5. James, I'll start with you. What are we looking at here?
I'm befuddled. I have no idea. I look at the under and I think I like that. I just, between Tua and Joe Flacco, I just don't see this being a shootout. But I mean, with the way the Jets defense has been playing, you and I could make a shootout. So I actually have no words for this game.
I've got a hose.
That's for sure. Yeah, I'm passing this one. I don't know what to do for a side here.
I don't know. I'm kind of 44.5. Isn't that a giant total? Like, how can these offenses possibly score? I mean, as a big Jets fan, why on earth are they starting Joe Flacco? It's like they're tanking. I mean, they must be because Zach Wilson practiced last week. And they easily – Mike White's healthy, and Mike White has the confidence from his teammates.
No, he doesn't.
He threw 4 picks.
He sucked last week.
He at least had Michael Carter shout him out. Like, I don't know. It's better than Joe Flacco. And, like, Joe Flacco can't even move. The way the Dolphins were blitzing Lamar last week, like, they should get to Flacco every single time. Like, I don't see how the Jets score in this game. And I think the under's the look. I mean, it's not like the Dolphins' offense is very impressive. They look like shit against the Ravens as well. They just had a really good defensive game.
I agree with that. Oh, I mean, they also had a defensive touchdown. And how many real points did they score, like, on offense? 9?
I don't know, but
if they had a one-yard run at the end from Tua, so 16.
Okay.
15.
Yeah. If you had the Dolphins team total under 20.5 earlier in the week, at a really good number. It was really fun to watch.
I'm sure. I think the Jets starting Joe Flacco makes me want to bet the Dolphins, but I won't because I think the hook could be very, very valuable here. Michael Carter receptions is the bet of the week. If I can get 4.5, oh, I'm going to be so excited rooting for my fantasy team. That being said, I love the under. I think that I didn't really think about it much, but it's going to be Joe Flacco dinking and dunking. And Tua is still claiming that his ribs hurt. So it'll probably be more dinking and dunking there too. And we do know the Jets defense sucks. I believe it's last by a wide margin in EPA, but 44.5 is higher than Saints Eagles. It's the same as Ravens Bears. It's higher than Washington Carolina. It's the same as Texans Titans. That's ridiculous.
I completely agree.
These are two of the worst offenses. Maybe the two worst offenses in the NFL. I think I would be willing to listen to those cases. Also, it's probably a great point to sell on like Jets totals, just because haven't they been into fairly – what was the final score last week? I'm blanking now.
45-17 or something.
Yeah. It's
Right.
Defense has been so bad.
They've smashed the over in the last four games.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go 40, even when you give up the total.
Wow, they've actually hit the over in six straight games.
Perfect time to sell. All right.
I like that.
I know Austin has a like here. Washington, right now I'm seeing +300, +100. Obviously, it's going to be an expense. I'll give you 3.5 because I'm a nice guy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Austin likes the Washington football team. They're getting 3.5. Panthers -3s are out there right now. Total is at 43. Why am I not putting the over in this?
Yeah. Well, because Cam's playing quarterback.
Yeah. Which goes into my handicap. Why? I mean, look, the look ahead on this game was Carolina -1. It was actually -1.5. And somehow the line has jumped through three. I'm giving myself 3.5 after Washington just beat the Bucks. I mean, it's all an adjustment because of Cam. And like, I'm a huge Cam guy. I got a Kill a Cam t-shirt in my drawer. I probably should be wearing it right now. But like, Cam's got to prove it. Like, and is Cam truly back? I mean, what did he do last year? Last week, he had two really good plays from like within 5 yards, which is, we know Cam can do that. But taking advantage of a Washington secondary that isn't very good, but can Cam truly take advantage of it? And Ron Rivera has had experience against him. I think the fact that we're getting over a field goal is really valuable. And I think that's the side over a total here. I think Washington keeps it close, and people are buying far too into this Carolina team this week with all the Cam hype when, hate to say it, like, Cam, I really like you, but you got to prove it. I mean, I think James had a good quote earlier this year for why Cam hasn't been signed, because we could throw a better deep ball than Cam right now. I don't know if he tried one last week.
No, you didn't. It's hard to try a deep ball from the 2-yard line. I completely agree. I'm waiting for 3.5, and then I will be betting Washington as well. Austin didn't mention it's the Ron Rivera revenge game, so he will be ready for this one. He'll have the troops fired up. It will be no letdown spot, but most of this revolves around Cam. I just don't know how he's going to lead the team 80 yards if they aren't moving efficiently on the ground. And we saw the Bucs struggle to run the ball a little bit last week. So I think I think Washington's very live in this game. And I think they actually win this one.
I kind of disagree. I'm not going to bet the Panthers. I would like to point out that last year Cam was pretty good until he got COVID. And I do think that kind of ruined his rhythm and just like the way he played the rest of the season. I don't think that we need to overreact to the overreaction as much as you guys are making it out to be. Washington losing, you guys went the whole time without mentioning that Chase Young is out for the year. Montez Sweat is not playing in this game. I also think Jonathan Allen might be out of this game too. And that is huge. Like, cause that would have been Washington's only defensive advantage. And if all of those guys are out, I don't see how they can kind of take advantage of the Panthers offensive line. Plus I do think Christian McCaffrey absolutely matters. And I think he showed that.
Yep.
I like the over. I just think there's going to be points. And that I'm still in a sort of like, I'm astounded this is lower than Dolphins Jets, honestly. I think that's playing into it a bit. But also Panthers defense, Gilmore's there. Henderson has been playing a little bit better since the start of his time there with Carolina, and the D line's been amazing. I struggled to get to Washington keeping it close, especially after last week. And on top of all that, it's haven't we been saying, isn't this team just not that good?
But either is Carolina. I mean, I hear you, their defense was playing well, but I've been low on Carolina all year. I mean, they started the year 3-0 playing three shit teams. And then
this
finally,
is a shit team.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just still not totally bought in. I mean, I look at last week's matchup where they're playing Colt McCoy, and once they came out to a lead, the game was over in the first quarter. I've never seen such a big money line winner just be such a sweat-free victory. I don't know. I'm interested to see.
Yeah. Quick time, Matt. We called Panthers money line last week.
Yeah, we did. Let's pat ourselves on the back. That was with ease.
Sorry to cut you off.
I don't know. You made some really good points. Because you're right. I purposely didn't mention the fact that they don't have Chase Young or Montez Sweat. I was going to mention that later. Because yeah, that's pretty much Washington's main defensive pieces. I don't think I can name it another defensive piece. Who's their best player now on their defense?
I think Kyle Fuller, maybe.
Okay. Yeah,
he's like ancient and kind of sucks now.
Their best piece is Ron Rivera, and he's going to lead him to victory.
He's going to motivate him to victory.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving Ron Rivera another year. That's it.
Look, he is here to prove you wrong when he sneaks into this seventh seed, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
He gets a win this week. They are live again.
That's perhaps the craziest thing
you're said. You're in timeout.
Yeah.
I'll sit through Texans money line. I won't stand for that.
I should be utilizing the mute feature more on Zoom. Ravens at the Bears. Bears getting 4.5 at home. This is drops in six, no?
Yeah.
Lamar's hasn't been practicing.
Oh, that's right. Total's at 44.5. Actually, that's interesting. Who is the backup quarterback for the Ravens? Trace McSorley?
No.
Nick Conley.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whatever. James, I read a text earlier that said you are betting the Ravens. Tell me why.
I don't buy the hype. I know he's not practicing, but he's going to play Sunday in my mind. I just don't understand how, like,
games are played in our
practicing
minds
for 3 days. It equates to a point and a half movement, or sorry, two. I think it opened 6.5. 2 points a line movement.
Through
even
key
if
number
he's hobbled.
Too.
Yeah, through a key number. I just don't see how you can get to these teams being 4.5 on in Chicago. The Bears played really good 2 weeks ago on Monday night. Don't get me wrong. Fields is for sure making progress, but I think we're getting a really good buy low on the Ravens here. That Thursday night game, it's hard to really take a lot away from it. I think the Ravens played really bad and were probably a little hungover from a nice comeback win against the Vikings and on a short week in humid weather. A lot of things just didn't line up for them, so I don't take a whole lot away from it. I just think they're too good, and this isn't really a number where they've struggled. It's when they've been above a 6-point favorite and a 7-point favorite that they've been really bad this year. But at 4.5, I'm definitely willing to bet the Ravens here.
A couple things. One, Nick Hundley is the former Padres catcher. Tyler Hundley is the backup for the
it's
Ravens.
It's Tyler Hundley. Oh, that's funny. You said so. It's Tyler Hundley. When you said Nick Hundley, I was thinking Brett Hundley.
Yeah, he's on the court.
I was mixed up on three different players right there. When does he even play football?
I'm on James's side. Lamar is certainly definitely worth monitoring because I don't think a quarterback who's worth more to their team than Lamar. So I understand Rodgers. Why the line is dropped. And really it's for the Ravens, their use of exotic blitzes. Fields has really struggled this year against the blitz this season. The Browns and the Bucks had similar like exotic blitz game plans. It's funny, Fields' stats EPA per play wise are almost three times as bad as Davis Mills when under pressure. He's just a totally different quarterback. And then for me, it's monitoring Lamar's injury report, but it's monitoring the Bears' injury report. They're missing Hicks, Mack, Eddie Jackson, Trevathan, and Allen Robinson. All those guys are banged up on the injury report, even though they had a bye week. So I think this number is too low. I'm with James.
I guess. I mean, we have seen Lamar play and win a game with the shits before. So hopefully that's all it is. I don't have much. Austin, I think you and James both made some really good points. Was that like a Justin Fields coming out game on Monday night? Do we think that's because that was against a good defense? He was making some outstanding throws. Do we think that the Ravens defense is, which is, I would say, far less talented than the Steelers defense, are they good enough to put Fields in those kinds of situations? I don't know. Probably a pass in this game for me, especially just with Lamar's status in question. But yeah. That being said, I'm always rooting for Lamar, MVP, him and Tannehill. Saints were your best bet, right, James?
Yeah.
Also, Steelers, you guys got to let me know.
It's Sunday Night Football.
Okay. We did that one too. All right. The Packers at the Vikings. Vikings are getting a point. Total is at 47.5. Austin, why don't you start us off?
I'm mixed. I'm leaning the Vikings way. Mainly because I like their advantage with Dalvin. I think they're going to be able to take advantage of the Packers' rush D. They've been impressive so far this year, but they're a little underwhelming against the ground. And Rashawn Gary is one of their best defensive linemen. He's hurt. He's going to play, but he's got a hyperextended elbow. He's going to be in a brace. Chances are that just hurts their rush D even more, not to mention the Vikings center should be back as well this week. And I look at this Vikings team. They're 4-5. They've been in every single game. They easily could have won every single game. I saw a stat. They've had at least a 7-point lead in every single game that they've played this season, which for a 4-5 team is just wild. Meanwhile, this Packers team, they've had a few coin flip games, and very easily these two teams could have the same record. So I think we're getting a little value on the Vikings side. And not to mention, they have a home field here. They are one of the few teams that have a real home field advantage. And injury side on the Packers side, I look at Rodgers. He has a toe injury. He's missed the last 2 days of practice. I think that is significant if it's turf toe. I mean, that's the type of injury that lingers a couple weeks and definitely hurts. And the Packers O-line is still banged up. Bakhtiari most likely isn't back. And Harrison Smith on the Vikings side will finally be back this week after the last 2 weeks. So I'm on the Vikings. It's also a bit of a letdown spot for the Packers. I don't know. They've just feel like had all in efforts the last 4 or 5 weeks.
James, what do you think?
I'm pretty mixed. I mean, a lot of people I listen to and follow and just kind of respect in general are all on the Vikings, it seems like. Now that it's down to one, though, it feels like just so much money is coming in on the Vikings that I just don't really agree with it. I mean, the difference between 1 and 2.5 is obviously pretty insignificant, but I think if the Vikings get to 1.5, it's a pretty good tease. I think this figures to be a pretty close game either way, but I don't really have much of a take on the side here. It's probably just more of a pass than anything.
I like the Packers here. So I think that last week's Packers offense performance is probably leaving a bad taste in people's mouths. And I think collectively that was perhaps our best call all year long, is like agreeing with that over or that under, excuse me, and the first half under.
Yep.
And what did we say? We said Rodgers rust, Russell Wilson rust. And I like, was that not the most, was it 3-0 after the first half?
Yeah, it was the easiest total win you'll ever have in your life. 17-0 is the final score.
Yeah. And so Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been playing, but I think this is his first normal week with Aaron Rodgers. And so now you kind of get Aaron Rodgers, his deep threat back. Who looks healthy by all accounts. And Devontae Adams is still there. Aaron Jones is hurt, but I do think A.J. Dillon is going to be as comparable of a running back as running the football, at least. I don't know, catching the ball. But I do think that the Packers are going to be able to move the ball fairly easily on the Vikings. And Austin, you brought up the Vikings like run game. And honestly, it really hasn't been that good this year. And they are 26th in adjusted line yards, which isn't good. And I think Kenny Clark will be the focal point of the broadcast, just because I could see him blowing up just so many plays for the Vikings. And I do expect the Vikings to be able to move the ball a little bit on offense. And I do value their home field because it is important. But ultimately, I think the Packers are just going to be able to outscore them here, especially with Aaron Rodgers back in a full week of practice. I do think that matters. And I think there is a pretty decent coaching edge to Matt LaFleur here. At least LaFleur. Crammed up the cram hole, LaFleur. Austin won't get that. Austin, I'll give you $5 and tell me what movie that's from.
No, not a clue.
Oh my god.
Dodgeball. where was I?
Still laughed.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
I would agree. LaFleur does have the coaching advantage. And
hold on, let me stop you. Because I do think Zimmer deserves credit. That's what I was gonna past say. Couple give, weeks. Give, Yep, past couple weeks, credit. His defense has been super sharp, and I love that he went for it late in the game against the Chargers. That was,
and for it. Someone who had a big parlay, if you're not into NFT horse racing, my friends and I, we are trying to get a horse, but we said we're not going to get it until we hit a parlay, and all we needed was the over in this game, and like Brandon Staley was not going for it in the situation he had to. No. I was very impressed with Zimmer, who was doing it when he needed to, and they did their job offensively. No idea. You guys got to get into NFT horse racing. It's a conversation.
No, I want to. It looks really fun.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dude, you like get a stable. You can breed them. It's a real thing. We almost got a horse named Running with Knives.
Wait, why didn't you?
Because we didn't want to. We had hit the parlay first. Blame the fucking Chargers.
That being said, much will be made about the Vikings getting kind of defensive replacements back. I would argue that none of them are good. Harrison Smith is old and kind of washed. Like, he's still fine.
Shots.
and my boy, know. Patrick Peterson. Oh, I hope they put, you know what? Put him on Davante Adams. Davante Adams is going for 200 yards. Put him on MVS. MVS will catch at least one very, very deep ball on like an offsides play or something. I'm putting that out into existence because it will be true. Pat Pete is a fossil. And he is not good. Now, because I said that, he'll have an interception or something stupid off like a tipped pass. That being said, James, it's suck. Right.
We'll continue.
This dude. that being said, my hatred for and disrespect for Patrick Peterson certainly knows no bounds. Hatred's probably strong because I don't really know him personally. But but as a football player, I just think he gets far too much credit for what he is now. Great career, though. Great career. But let's move on to the Bengals at the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders getting a point and the total, which I believe James and I have bet, is at 50.5. James, I'm curious what number is he in this call?
Yeah, I'm in.
Good job, James.
I'm in it.
James, what number did you bet the over at in this game?
49.
Not too bad. Man, even as you fix your Wi-Fi.
I'm just talking louder because I'm happy.
Okay. James, do you have any opinion on the side in this game or just the total?
Not really any opinion on the side. I think the Bengals being a slight favorite here is justified with the Raiders play as of late, but I like the over a lot. I mean, if you've watched these two teams play the last couple of weeks, their defenses have been far from okay. The Bengals have just been giving up big plays, chunk plays left and right. Gave up 41 to the Browns and then 34 to the Jets. On the other side, everyone saw what happened on Sunday night. The Chiefs offense all year has just been just league average at best. And then last week, I don't know if it was because Andy Reid and the Chiefs picked something or the Raiders defense is just playing that poorly right now, but a lot of 41 of the Chiefs. I just think there's gonna be a lot of points here. I guess I lean to the Bengals. I think the Bengals can do more offensively. The Raiders have struggled a little bit without Ruggs, trying to find that deep option, that deep threat to open it up. But they do have DeSean Jackson now, which should help. But it total still being under 51. I still like it at 50.5, up to 51. I think it's still a good play.
Austin, what do you think?
Honestly, I don't have much on this. I thought James' sentiments on the over were pretty spot on. Looking from a side perspective, I think I'll take the Bengals just because, I don't know, I made the take last week that the Raiders won't get to 7 wins and they're going to have to lose this game to reach that take. I'm not a believer in this Raiders team. Bengals are off a bye. And they're off like two pretty disappointing performances with a loss to the Jets, a blowout to the Browns. Like, they're gonna have to get this offense going again. Kind of a must-win spot for both teams if they want to stay in this playoff hunt.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. The Raiders are 5-4 right now. That's just kind of weird to look at. I don't want to overreact too much to Sunday night, but it's pretty tough not to, just because the lack of Henry Ruggs kind of stretching the field was noticeable, I would say, in that teams were, or at least the Chiefs, it kind of made the bad Chiefs pass defense look a little bit better. I still don't know how to gauge the Chiefs passing defense, especially after the last 3 weeks. I'll say that for the Chiefs Cowboys game. I do like this over though. I think with a week to prepare, Joe Burrow and the passing attack will be set up pretty well. And then overall, I'm still a supporter of the Raiders offense. I think that they got kind of unlucky with like a weird DeSean Jackson fumble, and I think that kind of interrupted momentum a little bit. So I bet at 49.5, James beat me by a half point, but yeah, Bengals Raiders over for me. I think I would play it up to 51. I wouldn't go over 51. The Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks getting 2 at home, and the total is at 48. Russell Wilson's been working real hard, man. I think they might have a chance here. Austin, what do you think?
Hold on, what was the video I sent earlier this week?
The Mr. Unlimited. That's the worst thing.
Mr. Unlimited. Look, I'm on Mr. Unlimited's side, mainly because I still don't know what I'm seeing out of this Cardinals team. If Kyler's healthy, I'm playing straight into the rust factor that every quarterback seems to be struggling with so far this season. And even if rust, or just the fact that we've seen Kyler when he's hurt. I mean, he's just not the same QB. I think Russell Wilson, with now an extra week under him, will be playing better. I mean, last week was a tough game. That Packers defense is playing very well, and it was in tough weather. Not to mention this Cardinals team still has some question marks with, like, is Hopkins going to play? I would say probably not. I just think there's value in Seattle here, especially if Kyler plays, because I would assume, I mean, we had this conversation last week. If Kyler plays, does this number go up? Is there any way we can get a +3? If so, I definitely will take Seattle, but I think they're a great teaser leg. And either way, I think I'm going to take them to +2.
James, what do you think?
Spot on. I completely agree. This is a spot that usually I like to play the Cardinals annually. It's a spot that usually the Seahawks are favored in, and you get the Cardinals at a pretty good money line price, catching like 7 points. But obviously that's not the case. Honestly, I'm kind of hoping Kyler plays here. Like Austin said, that a rust factor. We've seen it from pretty much every QB who's missed a few games this year. That first game back, they really struggled. And obviously with Russ, we saw last week. Kyler will be coming off about, 21 days without playing football. So I think that's a pretty big factor here. I think the Seahawks are a really good tease leg, but I also am looking at that money line a little bit.
I am on the Seahawks here. I bet them to win the game. I think that you're just buying low on the Seahawks. And with Russ Wilson back, hopefully healthier, I think that we see them be able to move the ball now. And I think that I also think that we see them kind of open up a vertical passing game a little bit. I am worried about kind of Chandler Jones getting in there and blowing up some plays. But overall, it's weird. Like, I agree with Austin. Or I don't know if Austin said this, but I do think I like it a little more if Kyler plays, and that if Kyler plays, maybe that bumps it up to 3, which that would be pretty cool, because I think I'd bet it again there. Also, Seattle's got a home field. I do think that matters, especially in a afternoon game with importance, and possibly with a little like a, this is a, I feel like this is not to get too narrative-y, but this is a little bit of a backs against the wall kind of game where we see a full out, just they're playing their best here. And I'm going to call for it. I think the spread matters in this. I think that late in the game, I think that we see the Seahawks down 1 or down 2. And I think that there is a chance that the 2, 2.5, whatever's available might actually matter here. Hopefully the Seahawks just win outright, but those 2 points, I have a weird feeling.
Can I make one more, even more bold prediction?
Sure.
We get a Squirgami in this game.
That's a hot take. I feel like they're just not many of those come by these days. But actually, I feel like we were on a couple weeks straight of getting a couple.
I'm pretty pumped about it. I'm a Scorigami guy.
The final afternoon kick. Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs, the game of the week. Cowboys getting 2.5 on the road. Total is at 56. Austin, you like the Cowboys?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm going to stick to my guns. I mean, truthfully, I wanted the over. I if we could reschedule this game in Dallas, I would really appreciate that. But the fact that we're getting 16-mile-per-hour wins does change this game a little bit. But regardless of that, I look at this matchups here, and I think to grade the Chiefs as the better team by the end of the year would be fair to say. But to this point in the season, Dallas has been the better team. I've been very impressed with Dak. I've been very impressed with this offense. They haven't faced anyone worse than the 18th rated pass defense so far this season. So they've played against pretty good competition. I just don't see how Kansas City can stop this Dallas offense. They've struggled against top offenses so far this week, this year. And look, the last four games and their four wins they've had, their defenses look better, but they've played no one on offense. And this week Gallup's going to return. And I expect it to be shootouts from that side of the field. Now the reason why I wanted the over is because I don't really see Dallas stopping Kansas City either. I'm not that impressed with Dallas's defense. Not to mention they play a lot of cover three zone, which I mentioned last week. That's where the Chiefs excel in, because they've struggled against the two high safeties look. Sure enough, the Raiders didn't change their game plan and the Chiefs destroyed them last week. So if the Cowboys change that up, possibly that'll help their defense a little bit more against this, this Chiefs offense. But that being said, the Cowboys so far we've seen this year, they have a very opportunistic defense and this Chiefs team has been very sloppy with the ball. So I don't think I've picked against the Chiefs all season yet, but I just think Cowboys are valuable here. I don't think they should be an underdog. I think they're the better team to this point to the season. The fact that they might get Tyron Smith back as well will help. Go Cowboys.
All right, James, what do you think? Are you on the other side?
I am on the other side. I think we will be betting this. The points you made were fair. I think you could actually argue justifiably as well that the Cowboys have been the better team to this point. But I really like what I've seen from the Chiefs the last 2 weeks. The offense didn't look good against the Packers. There's no doubt about that. But it's not the offense that's really impressed me. It's the defense that's starting to play much better ball. Some of that definitely could be the situations of the other teams they're playing. And we'll find out if it's translating this Sunday. But the defense is playing better. I really liked what I saw from the offense last week. It looked like they had a fundamental change in the offense. Later in the game, they took some deep shots, yes. But it wasn't like three-play, flashy, big, long drives like what we saw in years past. But more methodical, work their way downfield, mix in some runs, 5-yard checkdowns, nice long drives that led to points. And I think that just could be the change. Instead of taking deep shots, looking deep, that's your first read every time and results in either taking in a chance that you don't need to take or just like an incompletion. I mean, if Mahomes takes what the Cowboys give him here, I think the Chiefs can move the ball all day. I'm still not completely sold on the Cowboys defense. Like you said, they've been really opportunistic, but I just think I don't think they've seen an offense like the Chiefs up to this point. But yeah, I like the Chiefs -2.5 here. I think their home field really matters here. And I think the Cowboys going out and playing in the cold could do some things.
I don't think it's cold. I think it's windy.
It's windy.
It is 54. Jazz would not call that cold sitting in Washington.
No, I would not.
I would call that cold.
Weaklings. It is like 30 degrees and snowing right now.
No, it'll be closer to 40. It's a 4 o'clock kick.
Oh, good point. My weatherman is capping today. Gotta get the kid on that.
I think I lean to the Chiefs. I don't know. This is such a coin flip game. I think the number is perfect. I think if the Cowboys were getting 3, I would take a longer look at the Cowboys, but they're not. So I don't have to play it. So I won't. I think the Cowboys are a terrible tease. If that is what people are thinking, it is like a technically long teaser. I think that this could turn into a Chiefs blowout of sorts if the Chiefs defense plays up to a similar standard as the past couple of weeks. But James, and you did mention this a little bit, this could just be the Chiefs defense playing like the most favorable scheduling defensive spots they've gotten all year long. They play the Giants. Giants out a bunch of like a couple linemen and a bunch of skill players. They play Jordan Love. I don't need to go into it much further than that. And then they get the Raiders first game without Ruggs, right?
Second.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, you get burned by DeSean Jackson and like that. I do think that changed the complexion of the game a little bit. Now, that being said, they forced way more three and outs than I kind of like suspected they would. And so I do think that is a positive sign. It's clear that they are not playing Sorensen and Neiman as much on passing downs, which is good because they cannot cover. And ultimately, I think that I can't, with how poorly we've talked about the Chiefs so far this year, which a bunch of like underlying stats have shown that the Chiefs have not been playing up to like an above average team this season, which like, that's fair. I agree, but they are 6-4. They are first in their division. And I, at this point, I think that the Titans are a heavy favorite to be the one seed. I would not be that super, super surprised if the Chiefs just like found their mojo again and then ended up winning out. And I think because what we've seen the Chiefs do the past couple of years, I just think that sticks out in my mind too much. And I'm trying to like not just, you know, move into the comfortability. And I think I'm not playing this, but I could certainly see another Chiefs role here as a statement. And then we kind of see them move on into the rest of the season. I don't know. I don't know what to think here. I wish there wasn't bad weather because I would love this over too. So,
yep.
It is a bummer. Hopefully it dies.
I honestly, if you had no action in this game, I don't think it'd be the end of the world. This probably will be the game of the season. Yeah.
And then finally Sunday night, actually not finally, two games left. Sunday night, Steelers. Last I checked, it was Steelers +4.5.
Score Center showing 6 right now. I would assume that's a Mason Rudolph line.
Yeah, but Big Ben's going to play. He has the vaccine. There's no reason for him to sit out 10 days.
Okay.
I don't know, but Rudolph is preparing to start is what I'm seeing. Like, they're prepping him as if he's going to start. I'm thinking Big Ben might actually be sick.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's I'm – we're all just kind of we're just kind of pondering. What's the handicap, James? What do you think?
Yeah, because James, you like the Steelers, right?
Well, it's contingent on Big Ben, which is crazy to say. Okay. But I mean, after what I saw from Rudolph last week,
hold on, because this is kind of what we did last week with Packers, Seahawks, Steelers. Panthers, Cardinals, Steelers, Packers. Gosh, that was really difficult for me. So
Seahawks, Packers.
Let's talk Big Ben, then let's talk Mason Rudolph. James, you start us off.
So just talk Big Ben or talk Mason Rudolph?
Just pretend Big Ben's going to play.
Okay, I gotcha. So if Big Ben plays, he's not going to have any practice time, though.
Nope.
Damn it.
Does he need it? I don't know. Looks like Rodgers. Talk Mason Rudolph. Okay, I'm all over the Chargers. Mason Rudolph's playing. I mentioned it earlier. Mason Rudolph wasn't hit once last week. The Steelers do not exactly have a good offensive line. That just goes to show you how bad Detroit's defensive line is. And even though Joey Bosa caught COVID and isn't vaxxed, I've heard that he's going to play this week.
I would assume it is a false positive.
But this Chargers defensive line, if they are going to get pressure on Rudolph, and that will be a wake-up call for him after coming from a game where I don't even think he hit the ground. And I'm definitely not a Mason Rudolph believer. So I think the Chargers will excel. And then I look at the Steelers defense, and they're hurt. TJ Watt isn't going to play. Minka Fitzpatrick is most likely not playing. And Joe Hayden is also hurt. I got a feeling he'll play, though. I don't know. I think there's value in this Chargers team. I'm not a believer in this Chargers offense, in the Steelers offense. And I just think it gets that much worse with Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph sucks. I think that's clear. I don't know. The Chargers defense just has been so, so bad. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you could definitely say that.
Yeah, like it's because they haven't even come close to playing well at all in recent weeks. And yeah. I'm worried that the Steelers are going to have like a I can't call it an easy time because their offense is bad, but I feel like they'll be able to score 20-ish points to kind of like keep themselves in the game and within the number. That being said, I do agree. I think no TJ Watt, no Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's a huge loss. And I don't know. I've no dog in this fight. James, you didn't really get to talk. Do you have any sort of rebuttals to what Austin was saying?
No, I really don't want any action in this game anymore after thinking about it. We almost had a bet on this, but it's hard to really bet on it when you don't know the circumstances or the number. So at this point, it's nothing for me. I think the Steelers come out and play really well. It's just if it's Rudolph, I just really don't want any part. And Big Ben also won't have like any practice time. So situation is not ideal for the Steelers.
I actually disagree with that. I think the situation just overwhelmingly favors the Steelers after such a disappointing loss that ends in a tie.
Yeah, well, that's
like, I think you could say that like the on-field kind of play, almost certainly benefits the Chargers, but this is quite possibly like the best situation of the season right now.
See, I misspoke because I like the spot for the Steelers as a whole, but I'm saying at quarterback, they're in a predicament.
That's fair. Okay.
Just to clarify on Joey Bosa. So ESPN calls him out right now, but he tested negative for COVID on Wednesday. So I don't know how that works considering he was tested positive on Tuesday. It was clearly a false positive, but I guess he was in close contact with Jerry Tillery, who tested positive. So he might still have to be out.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess that'll kind of sort itself out as the week goes on. To Monday night we go. The New York Giants at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay, home of Daniel Jones' first win, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Giants getting 11. Total is 49.5. The Bucks have some significant injury issues, and I do think we should talk about that a little bit. Do either of you guys like the Giants?
Maybe in that way.
Because that's where I'm at, James. Vita Vea is probably not playing. The secondary health just continues to be an issue for the Buccaneers.
Sherman's made of glass.
What's up?
Sherman's made of glass now.
Oh, I know. It's a bummer. But Antonio Brown probably isn't playing. Did Gronk play last week?
Did you see the AB news that came out?
Yeah. I alluded to it earlier. I thought it was really funny.
Oh, did you? sorry. My phone probably kicked me off the call at that point.
Oh, that's actually a really good point. is this just prime Brady bounce back and they just kind of, but the Giants defense is pretty good. It's absolutely better than Washington's defense from last week. I don't know. I don't really know what to think about this game. This number feels too big, yet it also feels correct.
Giants love to do this when they're a big underdog.
That's
they
true.
Play they are really. They're well a damn the good dog. They're a yep. damn good dog.
And not to mention, we got 15 mile per hour wins in this game, which certainly favors holy the team shit. Who's an 11 point underdog.
The Giants were on a bye last week, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Extra time to prepare.
I believe Saquon's been practicing. Andrew Thomas was activated off the IR. They're getting healthy. And I think that the receivers have kind of been playing more or less. I'm not going to lie, I'm not keeping up with the Giants receivers injuries just because there were so many of them.
You kind of talked me into it.
Yeah. Can I make a mic drop?
Why?
Giants make the playoffs.
I'm not allowing you to call for 2, 3, and 16.
They took over Washington's spot. No, they play Washington in the final week. They're both going to play in a must-win game, and the Giants are going to beat them. Giants don't have anyone coming ahead on their schedule. Like, they have some winnable games, and now that they're healthy.
Have you seen the end of the year schedule for these NFC East teams?
They just all they play each other.
Like the last 6 weeks of the year, I don't think they play anybody else but each other. It's insane.
Giants have a little break, but yeah, Washington plays 5 straight NFC East.
The Eagles are the same way, and I know the Cowboys are pretty similar too.
I kind of wish that college kind of does that too. I think the NFL would be like really interesting to kind of heat up divisional races like that. It'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, it would be.
Especially with 18 weeks now, throw all 6 games in the last 8 weeks of the year.
I feel like too, with some of those teams that are like 4 games behind in the division, that the season, like, you know, like week 13, you think your season's over. If you're playing four teams in your division, like the last 4 weeks, I feel like there's still a little glimmer of hope that you still play.
Oh, hard. That's got to give you juice. Yeah. Absolutely.
And at the very least, if you're out of it, you're going to ruin your rival's season. Like that type of
yep.
thing.
Very true. I mean, who was the Eagles brought started like a third string quarterback last year when they could have beat someone to like,
football team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
That was insane.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. Anything else on this game? Are we overthinking Giants Bucks?
No, it's Giants to pass.
Just pull the trigger. I like Giants.
All right. All right. You heard it from Austin. All right. Wait.
Is it
Giants outright?
Yeah. Put the Giants Texans money line parlay together, people.
I'm rolling Texans, Saints, and what was the other one? Oh, Colts.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I guess we've normally been doing this at the end. Quick little recap. Austin, you want to go over your likes one more time?
I've got Browns or best bet Texans. And then I have Browns. I have the under in the Eagles Saints game. I took Washington and I took the over in Chiefs Cowboys.
And then anything else you may have liked along the way?
I
like that Dolphins under, Jets under.
Under Jets Dolphins, I really like. That's a phenomenal call. I think we all should have money on that. And if I was to make a teaser, I liked the – what did I like? I kind of like the Saints. We said the Saints and then
– I was thinking Seahawks.
Yeah, I like Seahawks.
James, what about you?
My best bet was the Saints +1.5. I like the over in the Raiders and Bengals. I like the Chiefs -2.5. I like the Ravens -4.5. And my fifth like was the Steelers, but I'm going to swap that to the Seahawks. Like Austin said, I really like that under in Miami and New York. And I kind of like Chaz's handicap on the Colts. I think if you can get the hook on 7, I think I might play that as well.
Well, you just heard that. My best bet is Colts +7.5. I do like the Saints. Titans team total over for me. Kind of like it a little less now, but I'll stick to my guns. I like the Packers. I like the Seahawks. Other things, Seahawks, Saints, tees, I'm a fan of. Dolphins, Jets under, just like we said. And I think Jags +3.5 first half. I actually do think that's a pretty decent look. Okay. Other than that, oh, and Bengals, Raiders over. I'll have some action. And you know what? Screw it. Giants winning. I like that.
Woo-hoo!
I like Texas. That. Let's go.
Giants playoffs.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Spotify, click the – I forget what it is. Is it follow, subscribe button, whatever it is.
Didn't tell you.
Austin, you're going to have to give me an idea for a poll. I think the last one we did – we didn't really talk – oh, my gosh. How did I go the entire pod without mentioning this? There's breaking news in the NFL this week. Cats versus birds are exactly 500 in NFL matchups.
Wow.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
It was like 290 and 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
That is monumental news right now.
Is there any matchups this week?
Bears, Ravens, I guess a Bears and a Cat.
No, it is not.
No. It's an animal.
What about bird on bird? We got a Cardinal Seahawk.
You know what? I'd have to do a deep dive into the numbers for that, James. But unfortunately, I don't have that on me right now.
I'm gonna say a bird wins every time between two birds.
That's an extremely hot take. Be careful who you say that around. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it, especially with all of our fairly idiotic comments on animals at times. Austin. Big NFL Sunday is coming. What are we doing this weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Do it.